offensive has begun, with NBC Invasion News as right-of-way over all programs. Bulletins will be broadcast as they come through. Keep listening to WEAF.
This is Don Goddard with your news at noon, presented by Tootsie VM, the amazing new way to provide vitamins for children's deficient diets. On this D plus one day, the Sweets Company of America, makers of the product that sponsors this program, are relinquishing their regular commercial announcements in order that the maximum time of this regular news period may be devoted to bringing you the latest news on the invasion. And here it is. The German High Command is making some big claims for its troops, in which it says, they say they have counterattacked in all beachhead areas of France now. The German radio says that the Nazis have smashed the major part of our invading forces. But this, manifestly, is whole cloth propaganda designed for home front consumption. In the next breath, they admit that superior Anglo-American forces are holding firmly to their positions around Caen and Carentan. The German communique indicates that the fiercest fighting is in progress around both sides of the Orne estuary, near Caen and around Carentan, at the base of the Cherbourg Peninsula. Here is what the Nazi communique says. The Allied landing operation on the northern coast of Normandy between Le Havre and Cherbourg was supported throughout yesterday by strong naval forces. Numerous airborne formations, which were dropped in the rear of our coastal fortifications, had been intended to facilitate this landing and prevent us from bringing up our reserves. Most of them were wiped out after short, hard fighting. Well, that's what the Nazis say, and it isn't borne out by our communiques, which express a grim satisfaction in the way things are going in France. Up in the Calais area, the Germans have been claiming since early morning that new Allied landings are taking place there. But early Allied dispatches make no mention of such landings. Undoubtedly, of course, there will be other landings. This is what Hitler knows and fears. The Calais area, frequent target, would be a logical spot for such a landing. From Dover to Calais, on the northeastern coast of France, is only 21 miles. Aside from the question of landings, German long-range guns have been active in this area. They unleashed a violent barrage across the 21-mile Strait of Dover today. Explosions of the detonating shells were heard from miles around. German batteries between Boulogne and Calais, which in a matter of moments were subjected to a return bombardment, appeared to be in operation also. They used salvos of 6, 4, and 2 shells at a time. The Nazi firing lasted for more than an hour and a half. During this period, the coast of France was occasionally visible from the English side. And this, of course, would indicate that last night's bad weather over the Channel, some of the most unseasonable weather in years, now had lifted, and the fighting will continue. Here's an example of the contradictions which are inherent in the Nazi reports when they get to telling lies on a big scale. They say they've repelled the invasion. But a Nazi correspondent said also, just a short while later on the radio, that the glare of fires set by our planes could be seen all up and down the French coast, and that already the town of Caen, as well as numerous villages around it, had been abandoned by the Germans because those places had been set afire by Allied artillery and air bombardment. That's a great battle being fought on the Cherbourg Peninsula today between men dropped from the sky, airborne troops of both the Germans and Allied armies. We don't know much about that battle. In fact, we don't know very much about the status of the invasion this noon, except that the Americans have driven 6 to 12 miles into Normandy at some points, and Supreme Allied headquarters say the battle is going well. Berlin admits now that our beachheads extend for 50 miles along the peninsula. Also, 50 miles long was the train of gliders bearing our parachute troops, which descended like a swarm of locusts on the fields of France. Also swarming down were German parachute troops. We have a special broadcast coming up here. I've just been notified. We take you now to NBC in London for that special broadcast.
I've been cleared of the enemy.
I was just given that assurance
in the great map room of the Ministry of Information, where the walls are covered not only with maps of the invasion area, but also with photographic portraits of Allied leaders and even recognition pictures of enemy chieftains, such as von Rundstedt, Rommel, and Goering. The officer who gave me information about clearing of the beaches added that although all the beaches on which we have landed have been cleared of the enemy, and some of the beaches have been linked together, The fighting inland is both heavy and general. Our navies, with everything from great battle wagons down, are standing out there in the channel, banging away still at German shore batteries and other targets. Our planes, the sky is full of them, and it looks now as if the Air Forces may even surpass yesterday's record of 13,000 sorties. Well, that's the bright side of the picture, and no wonder the Allied communique reports satisfactory progress. That's the bright side, and bright it is. But we are being cautioned more and more here as the day known on the invasion calendar as D+1 draws toward a close. Cautioned not to give way to a hair-trigger over-optimism. NBC's George Wheeler, out in the channel with the American Navy, reports that we're in business on the continent. And we certainly are. In business, all right, and carrying the business through. But in every business, the ledgers have two columns. One for profit and one also for cost. There will be a cost in this invasion business also. There's no use blinking that fact. We would only be fooling ourselves. There are so many imponderables, so many things over which the generals and the admirals have no control. Weather, for one. It was better this morning, better than on D-Day. But then it closed in again. Latest word I have is that there are heavy clouds over much of the landing area. Returning pilots also report some icing as they flew through the upper levels of those clouds. Nor is nature our only obstacle. The Germans can by no means be discounted merely because they have not yet mounted a major counterattack. Their resistance is increasing. Some of their coastal guns, apparently bombed out in the first phase, are barking again. Some of their planes have been in action. There is fierce fighting. In fact, the German overseas agency says that massed formations of operational reserves are attacking our men today with terrific ferocity in the Camp Bayer area on the Seine Bay. The Germans say our losses have already amounted to several divisions. That's undoubtedly an exaggeration. We hope a fantastic exaggeration. But losses there have unquestionably been, and there will be more. German air resistance is still on a small scale. But admittedly here in England, it's increasing. The Germans also say that they have thrown at least light naval forces into the fray. And they claim that we've suffered heavy naval losses. There's no reason, on the basis of what we've been told officially so far, to accept that German claim. And now, back to the NBC in New York.
That was Bill Chaplin at the NBC newsroom in London telling us about the latest from the invasion front, and that supersedes the information that we gave you in the earlier part of this program. And now let's look at some of the other fronts along the line here. While his troops of the Fifth Army were chasing disorganized German forces northward out of Rome, Lieutenant General Mark Clark issued an order of the day, an announcement of congratulations on their magnificent offensive operation which resulted in the liberation of Rome. Said General Clark to his triumphant troops, the Germans' last-ditch defense from position to position as he retired before Rome shows conclusively that he realized how important it was for him at this time to prevent the capture of Rome, the destruction of his forces in Italy, and the accomplishment of a major Allied victory. And Clark went on to say, his failure to accomplish these missions is at once a severe blow to his prestige in this war, and a loss to his armed forces which he cannot afford. Your victory augurs well for the success of other offensives, which will be hurled against the Nazis in other parts of his so-called impregnable European fortress. Yes, the 5th and the 8th armies in Italy have now driven the Nazis of Kesselring in headlong flight a dozen miles north of the Eternal City. The communique says they are beating down disorganized rear guards in the pass. And General Sir Harold Alexander told the Italian people this morning that he confidently believes that the strength of the German armies in central Italy has now been broken. General Alexander used that phrase in issuing a call to the patriots of Italy to arise and join in the fight against our common enemy, a call that was addressed also to the guerrillas behind the Nazi lines. An answer to the general's appeal comes by way of Barcelona today. The report from there is that 12,000 organized Italian guerrillas have moved from the Italian Piedmont along the trails used by smugglers of old into the French Savoy the mountains where French guerrillas hide, and there have joined forces and are awaiting orders for an offensive. That may be so, it may not be so. The report comes from Spain, remember. And Yugoslav guerrillas are active today. The partisans of Tito have captured several towns in Bosnia. And over in the Pacific area, the Japanese definitely are on the winning end of the battle for that important Chinese rail city of Changsha. The latest dispatch tells how powerful Japanese columns have now closed the gap of 22 miles that the Chinese armies held and are now fighting in the suburbs of the city. The Japs will possess control of the vital railroad that runs from Hankou down to Canton if they take Changsha in this, their fourth attempt. And down in China's Yunnan province, the Chinese armies take the honors. They've driven the Japs from several strong points now. And the Japs also apparently have given up their battle for Kohima under the competent persuasion of British and Indian troops there in India. And they are now withdrawing. In fact, they seem to have withdrawn about 6 miles, according to the latest dispatch. And on Biak Island, our troops nearest the Philippines are still inching toward the Jap airfield and running into murderous Jap resistance. And American planes in the Central Pacific continue their systematic bombing of Truk and Nauru and bases in the Marshall Islands. And back home, well, you just can't put these things in terms of money, but there has to be monetary support to launch and sustain great battles, and the biggest battle of all, our invasion of Western Europe, will cost most money of all. Acting on testimony from the military experts on just how much money, the House Appropriations Committee this morning voted close to $50 billion in support of our fighting forces and their campaigns for the year ending July 1st. The biggest appropriation bill for the war now goes to the House. There is little doubt about its passage, especially in the glare of the battles now being waged. The appropriation will bring to a total of $390 billion the obligations that Congress will have voted for the war since July 1st, 1940. And some of the most interesting testimony, by the way, now outdated, of course, by the great events of the past few hours, was that of General Harold Alexander, General H.H. Arnold, our air commander. In the first 4 months of 1944, said General Hap Arnold, we had flown some 218,000 sorties against Germany and had dropped 175,000 tons of bombs during that same time. And during that same time, we were able to fly more than a third as many against the Japanese targets over much longer distances and drop a fourth as many bombs. During that period, we destroyed 5,700 German planes and 1,400 Japanese planes. And the Nazi enslaved people of Europe heard the word today that they've been waiting 4 years to hear from the lips of Herbert H. Lehman, director of the United States Rehabilitation Administration. They heard that relief is on the way. They are assured a new life, a life of freedom and regeneration, will soon be theirs, even as the tidal waves of armed retribution consigns the tyrants to a history's hall of fame. Lehman said in the shortwave broadcast, plans have been laid for giving you a life along the road to a secure new life. And now an announcement. Don't forget, friends, when you shop this weekend, get new Tootsie VM, the amazing new kind of milk fortifier that provides vitamins for children's deficient diets in the way they love. Just stir 2 teaspoonfuls of Tootsie VM in a tall glass of milk and serve your children a frosty, cool, thirst-quenching party drink they can't resist. It tastes like their favorite candy, chocolatey Tootsie Rolls. And besides giving them plenty of healthful milk, Tootsie VM provides 8 extra vitamins and minerals. See what wonders it may work. And remember, the only way to make milk taste like Tootsie Rolls is to get Tootsie VM. No ration points. The weather forecast for New York City and 50 miles around. This afternoon, partly cloudy and moderately warm. Tonight, cloudy and cooler. Tomorrow, clear to partly cloudy with a high of between 75 and 80 degrees. The temperature in New York at the moment is 69 degrees. The humidity is 46%. And a brief summary of the top news for the benefit of those who may have tuned in late. A great battle between airborne troops, both German and Allied, is raging in Cherbourg Peninsula now, and the entire coast is ablaze with great fires. We are still holding our own there. And that's your news at noon, brought to you by Tootsie VM, that provides vitamins for children's deficient diets in the way they love. And this is Don Goddard saying, I'll see you tomorrow.
Don Goddard broadcast from the NBC Newsroom in New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Mm-hmm.